Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Proverbs 22, 7. Today I am starting, as I've announced, a new series that I'm calling A Matter of Life or Debt, about how you can get out of debt and stay out of debt. And today I want you to answer the question, are you a debt row prisoner? You say, Pastor, why in the world, you know, you're a pastor and this is a church, and why are you talking about something that I might hear at a financial seminar? Well, here's the reason. God cares for you, and He cares for every part of your life. And God really didn't care about money. Jesus never cared about money. He never even cared enough money to pay His taxes. They had to go down and catch a fish and find a coin in the fish's mouth. But God cares for you and your heart so much. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God doesn't want you to be in bondage to anything or anybody. And the truth is, there are millions of Christians who are enslaved to debt, unmanageable debt. And you know what? I really believe most of you want to tithe. I believe there are a lot of you that want to go on mission trips and serve the Lord. But you know what? You can't because you're enslaved to debt. God wants you to be set free so you can do what He's calling you to do. I read an article this week in the New York Times by Warren Buffett, you know, the richest guy in the world. And he says, you know, now's the time to buy stocks. He's buying stocks up like crazy because they're at bargain prices right now. Of course, when you have a gajillion dollars, you know, you're not upset when the stock market tanks. But he also said that there are probably some banks that probably need to go out of business and some businesses that need to go under. That's just a competition to the market. He even talked about one bank that closed and a restaurant opened in the bank, and they put a sign to advertise the restaurant, and they said, come put your mouth where your money used to be. It's pretty clever. Well, God really puts His mouth where the money is in the Bible. You know why? Because according to Crown Financial Ministries, which is sort of the basis of what I'm using for this series, how many verses do you think there are in the Bible that speak about money or possessions? 2,350 verses in the Bible about money and possessions. God puts His mouth where our money is. And of course, there's been a terrible financial crisis on Wall Street. And you say, well, Pastor, I guess why? That's why you're preaching this message, this series. Not at all. I told you that 14 months ago, I planned to do this exact series. But God's timing is always perfect, impeccable. Who knew that we would be in a time of financial crisis, a credit crunch, a credit crisis, whatever you want to call it. But you know, it's not just in Wall Street. It's trickled down to Elm Street and Oak Street right here in Tyler, Texas, because there have been a lot of you who over the last few weeks, you have been 401k'd and you've been suffering from stock shock. But we're going to see that God's Word gives us some great principles about how to get out of debt. I challenge you, every one of you listening to me will set as a goal that you will someday in the future be absolutely debt free. Now, it won't happen today, but today you can make the decision that you're going to start on the roadway to being debt free. All right, let's do a little diagnostic test. Let me ask you a few questions and see whether or not you are a prisoner on debt row. Would you answer these questions honestly in your outline, yes or no? Or if you don't have an outline, just kind of write down a wire in. All right, answer this question. Number one, I depend on credit cards to maintain my lifestyle. Yes or no? I depend on credit cards to maintain my lifestyle. Be honest here. You're only going to grade it yourself. Number two, I delay payments or I pay the minimum amount on my credit card. Yes or no? Third question, I transferred my credit card balance to another card. In other words, one card got so full or maxed out, I transferred it to another one or a couple of cards. Next question, I hardly ever tithe or save. Yes or no? Next question, I charge things I can't afford because they're on sale. You know, a coat's $100, but you got it for $70. And just think, I saved $30. No, you spent $70. Last question, my debt is more than 20% of my monthly income. Now, you may or may not know that, but just guess. My debt is more than 20% of my income. Now, look at your answers there. If you checked yes two or more times, according to Crown Financial Services, you probably are struggling under an unhealthy load of debt. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. I want you to understand what debt is, because not all debt is bad. And I want you to understand the root cause of debt. And then I'm going to give you some very practical steps on how you can start getting out of debt. Already? All right, here we are. Number one, you need to understand the nature of debt. Understand the nature of debt. You say, well, come on, you know, isn't debt just owing money? Well, all debt is not created equal. People often ask me, Pastor, does the Bible forbid borrowing money, or does the Bible forbid going into debt? No, it never forbids it. What the Bible does say is that if you borrow money and you can't pay it back, the Bible calls that wickedness, sin. Write this scripture down. Psalm 37:21. Psalm 37:21 said, the wicked borrow and do not repay. Now, according to the Crown Financial Ministries, there are two kinds of debt. Let's distinguish between the two. First of all, let's talk about smart debt. Smart debt. And you say, well, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? No, not really. What would we consider to be smart debt? Well, if you borrow money for a home mortgage, if you take out money for an education or a business loan, because you see, a home, that is a secured loan. You have collateral, the property itself, and in most cases, real estate's going to appreciate, so you're going to have an equity. In other words, the value of the property is more than what you owe. And so that's smart debt. And the same is true in some cases for educational loans. If you're going to learn from those skills that will allow you to be able to produce income based upon your education, then you're actually going to be paying that back. It's an investment in your career. Or for business loans, those people that have businesses, you know that sometimes you have to borrow to have capital to make money. Now, you may be thinking, well, Pastor, when you talk about being debt-free, there's no way that I'll ever pay off my home mortgage. Well, never say that. That ought to be a goal. But you know what? According to Crown Financial Ministries, if you owe money on your home or on educational loans or business loans, Crown Financial says that you're basically debt-free. So when we're talking about being debt-free, we're not talking about completely paying off these smart loans, okay? So understand that. So that goal of being debt-free may be a little closer than you thought. But I think people know that, but now I want to move on and talk not about smart debt. I'm calling the second category stupid debt. I think Crown calls it unwise, but I want to call it stupid debt. And stupid debt is borrowing for items that depreciate. You say, well, you know, what about a new car? Well, that's kind of a gray area. It can either be smart or it can be dumb. If you can put down enough cash so that the amount you finance is less than the value of the car, then you actually have owned something that's more valuable than what you owe on it, and that's okay. But it's when you finance the entire cost of the car that you end up owing more for it than it's actually worth. And in financing circles, when you get to the point that you owe more than it's worth, that's called being upside down. And a lot of cars are financed today for 60 months and 72 months, and most people want a new car before then. And so they end up trading in a car that's not even paid for on a new car, and they're upside down. According to Money Magazine, 30% of new car buyers, 30% when they buy a new car, they haven't paid off the car that they currently own. And so as much money, cash as you can put down on an automobile, the better it is. But that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about revolving credit, which basically means credit cards. That's where most Americans have gotten in trouble. They've maxed out credit cards, and they don't even pay the balance. They pay the minimum amount, and it is adding on compounded monthly 18 to 21% interest, and that's where you get enslaved to debt. Let me give you some consumer credit statistics. These are the latest ones from our government. Do you know what the average household credit card debt is? $8,188. That's what the average household in America owes on their credit card. You know what the average number of credit cards per family is? 13. Hey, what's in your wallet? Count them sometime. You know what percentage of families who are using revolving credit, in other words, the percentage of American families who don't pay off the balance, they pay just the minimum? 42%. How about the percentage of families who spend more than they make? This has nothing to do with credit cards, but they just spend more than they make. 43% of families, and this is amazing, but the average time to pay off credit card debt, paying only the minimum for the amount that people owe today, is 28 years. Now, some people will tell you, don't use credit cards. Credit cards are bad. That's not so. If you can use credit cards for convenience, it's okay. I'm here to tell you that it's been a core value of mine and my wife's that ever since we've been married, every month we paid off the total balance every month. We've never paid any interest. And if you can discipline yourself to pay off the total balance every month, then a credit card becomes a convenience and it's okay. You know, credit card companies don't like people like me or those of you who pay off your balance. They actually call us deadbeats because they're not making any money on us. They want you to pay the minimum amount. You know why? Because then they start making interest and more interest on you. Let me introduce to you Ann. Ann is 30 years old. She owes $3,500 on her credit card at 18% interest compounded monthly, and she pays the minimum amount. How old do you and she doesn't charge anything else. How old will Ann be when she finally pays off her credit card bill? 70 years old. And she will have paid almost an additional $3,000 in interest during that time on a $3,500 bill. I mean, it's amazing. You know, where did we ever get the idea that borrowing is good? This just didn't happen immediately. Some of you folks who are older than me and wiser than me, you remember this better than me. Our great-grandparents thought borrowing was a sin. Our grandparents borrowed for just a few things. Our parents borrowed for a few more things, and now we borrow for everything. Why? Because we want it, and we want it now. You know, credit cards will get you in deep trouble if you don't pay it off every month. I heard about a guy who said his wife's credit card was stolen, and he called it into the police department. He said, my wife's credit card was stolen, but hey, don't look too hard because the thief isn't charging as much as my wife charged. Somebody else said, you know why more Americans don't own an elephant? Don't own an elephant? It's because nobody's come along and offered them an elephant for no money down and no payments until next spring. Ron Blue, who's a financial expert, says, you know what? If you cannot pay off your credit card balance after 2 months, he says you need to take a piece of aluminum foil, put it on a baking sheet, put all your credit cards on a baking sheet, preheat your oven to 425, and put the baking sheet in the oven and bake it for 20 minutes. Bring it out, let it cool, and what you have is a beautiful piece of artwork, modern art, to hang on the wall to remind you that you're not going to go deeper in debt. Or he said, if you don't want to get that creative, just perform plastic surgery and take a sharp pair of scissors and cut your credit cards up into tiny little pieces. That's where most American families are in trouble. They owe so much on their credit cards. That's stupid debt. So now do you know the difference? But let's go beyond debt, because that's not the real problem. That's just a symptom of the problem. That's just the fruit of the problem. Let's talk about the root of the problem. So number two, let's acknowledge the root of unwise debt. You see, I'm distinguishing stupid debt, dumb debt, unwise debt. What's behind it? You know, if you've got a weed growing in your garden, don't just snip it off at the top. You got to dig down and get at the root of it. And the same is true with unwise debt. Here it is. Debt, number one, is a symptom of the disease of greed. Problem's not debt. That's just the symptom. The problem is greed. And according to the Bible, greed is a character flaw. Greed is a sin. It's a spiritual issue. What is greed? Here's my short definition of greed. It's when you want things you can't afford. You want things you can't afford, and you buy things you can't afford. You borrow money for things you don't need, to impress people you don't even like. That's what greed is. Here's what Jesus said about greed. He said, take care. Protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot of it. You see, the problem is we want every little toy and we want it now. We want to keep up with the Joneses next door. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, the Joneses next door, they're broke. Got me? They're broke. They're mortgaged up to the hill. They're almost filing bankruptcy, okay? So stop trying to keep up with them. Hey, you know how our grandparents and great-grandparents did it? When they needed something, they saved money and paid cash. Isn't that a novel idea? They saved money until they could afford it, and they paid cash. And what do? Oh, by the way, they were practicing something that's foreign to our generation. They practiced delayed gratification. I'm going to save up till I can afford it. What do we say? We say, I want it, and I want it now. Buy now, pay later. Let me introduce you to Scott. Scott wants a new computer. He wants one that's faster. He wants one with more memory, got more bells and whistles. So he goes down to the electronics store, and he buys one for $2,000 because it's got the top-grade monitor and everything. And he gets a free printer in the deal. So the store lets him finance it. And you know what? They say you only have to pay $25 a month on this computer purchase. And he got a free printer in the deal. So Scott pays off the minimum amount every month. How long do you think it'll take Scott to pay off that computer? 13 years, 9 months. You think that computer is still going to be cutting edge in 13 years and 9 months? But at least he got a free printer in the deal. You know what? And by the way, after 13 years and 9 months, you know how much that computer would cost him instead of $2,000? It would cost him $3,995, almost twice the amount that it cost him. If, on the other hand, he had saved a couple of $100 a month for 10 months and then gone down there and paid cash for it, guess what? He would have actually been getting it like for a half price, and he still would have gotten a free printer in the deal. You see, that just makes sense to do it that way, but it's called deferred gratification. You know, it's amazing how this credit problem has just snowballed through the years. Did you know in the 1910 Sears and Roebuck catalog, they say that credit or debt is a folly? Ford Motor Company delayed offering loans on their cars for 10 years after General Motors offered it. J.C. Penney stores, for many years, you could not buy on credit there. They required that you paid cash. Credit cards did not come out until 1950, and as late as 1970, only 15% of Americans used credit cards. And today, are you ready for this? Every year, credit card companies send out $3 billion offers of free credit cards to Americans. And you know what they're doing? They're feeding our greed. Because we don't want to wait and pay cash. We want it, and we want it now. You say, Pastor, well, what's the answer to that? Well, you know what? There is an antidote for greed, and here it is. Contentment is the antidote for greed. Hey, that's a good word. You ever heard of that one? Contentment. That's a good Bible word. The Bible says godliness with contentment is of great value. Just contentment is the antidote. You know, if you're going to take my challenge to get to the point where you're living debt-free, you need to memorize this verse, Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be, here's our word, content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. You say, wait a minute. I've heard that verse all my life. Never will I leave you or forsake you. You mean it's in the context of not loving money? And being content, that's where God put it. You know why? Because God wants you to love Him, not love money. God wants you to trust Him, not trust money. And He says, my presence with you is the only thing that'll give you joy. You see, we are teaching our kids that stuff brings happiness. And the more stuff you have, the happier you are. John Ortberg is a pastor, and he writes about this kind of tongue-in-cheek. Let me read you a quote. He says, when we take our children to the shrine of the golden arches, they always lust for the meal that comes with a cheap little prize, a combination christened in a moment of marketing genius, the Happy Meal. He says, you're not just buying fries, McNuggets, and a dinosaur stamp. You're buying happiness. Their advertisements have convinced my children that they have a little McDonald's-shaped vacuum in their souls. Happy Meals, he writes, bring happiness only to McDonald's. You ever wonder why Ronald McDonald wears that grin? 20 billion Happy Meals, that's why. And John Ortberg writes, you know what, when we get older, we just have more expensive Happy Meals. We want this little toy, we want this little thing, just because we think it'll make us happy. You know what, folks? Only God and the presence of God in your life will bring you joy and contentment. There's not a happy meal on this planet that will ever truly satisfy you. Only a relationship with God can do that. Okay? That's what debt is. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. That's the root of debt. Now, I want to give you some very practical steps. Number three, develop a plan for debt-free living. I really do hope that you'll take my challenge to say, Pastor, I am going to become debt-free. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen accidentally. It'll happen intentionally. You got to have a plan. But just remember, it's a target. And if you shoot at nothing, you'll hit a bullseye every time. So make it your target that you're going to come to a place where you're debt-free in your life. But I want to tell you, folks, that's not the finish line. When you become debt-free, that's the starting line, okay? So don't think of it as finishing. That's just the starting place. Here are seven things that'll help you do it. And these are sequential steps. Number one, first of all, you got to determine where you are right now. You know, a lot of people don't even know how far in debt they are. They don't even want to open that credit card bill. They don't want to open it and see how much they owe. But you've got to come to grips and be honest with yourself. You need to write out, like on a sheet of paper, your own personal financial profile, which just lists all your assets, you know, what you own, the equity in your house, any savings or investments in your bank accounts. Just write that down. And then below that, write out your liabilities, what you owe on your house, what you owe on credit cards, what you owe on your car. And you just need to see, this is how much I owe. And then say, which of those debts can I attack first? And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But you got to know where you are before you can know how to get to where you want to go. So number two, I know you expect me to say this, but give first to God and then to yourself. Give first to God and then to yourself. Now, the best thing I can share with you is what I'm calling the 10-10-80 plan. So simple, but if you will start living by the 10-10-80 plan, I can make some guarantees to you. Number one, you're going to be blessed by God. Number two, you're going to get rich slowly. And number three, you're going to be free and happy and able to do what God wants you to do. Say, what is it? Very simple. 10-10-80, you give your first 10% to God. You give your second 10% to yourself in savings. And then you discipline yourself to live on 80% of your income. Now, I want you to look at these apples I have over here. And we're going to be using these apples in all the messages during this series. There are 10 apples here. 8 of them are red and 2 of them are green. These apples represent all the resources that God gives you. You can think of it as your weekly resources or your monthly resources or however you want to. I want to tell you, first of all, that I did not make these apples. I did not create these apples. You know what? Only God made these apples. God created these apples. And I want you to know that every penny you have, every possession you have, everything of value in your life came from God. Okay? You didn't make it. You didn't earn it. It's a gift from God. So you know what? It all belongs to Him. It's all His. But then God says, 10 apples, I want you to take the first apple and the best apple, and I want you to give it to me. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all you possess. And that's the key. You say, Pastor, you know, I think that when I get out of debt, then I'll start thinking about giving God His apple. No, you got it reversed. You got to start honoring God first so He can honor you. And He's the one that's going to help you get out of debt. But you know what a lot of people do? A lot of people take God's apple and they start eating it themselves. Now, wait a minute. The creator of the universe who made all these apples and gave all these apples to you and asked you to give Him one apple and you're going to eat His apple? Is that smart? I don't think so. Are you going to eat it and then say, I'm sorry, God, I was really hungry this month, but here's a core. I don't think that's going to work. You give it to God. You take this second apple and you set it aside in a safe place and you save it. Now, next week when I talk about taming the money monster, I'll tell you what to do with some of these savings. There's some saving funds and some saving plans that you need to have to help you get out of debt. But that's what you do. And then, listen to me, folks. God says, look at all these apples. That's a whole lot more than there. Look at all these apples, you know. Hey, why don't you have a house or a place you can live? Hey, and you can have a car to drive. And, you know, I'm going to give you electricity and cable and water. And, you know, God says, look, that's a bunch of apples. Use them wisely. Manage them for me. But, folks, you've got to discipline yourself to put all of your expenses in this basket so that you're not robbing God from his apple and you're not going into the hole by not saving for yourself. Now, folks, that's worth the price of this whole series. This is worth the price of admission, what it costs you to come in today. 10, 10, 80. It'll change your life. All right, here's the next one. Number four, develop a debt repayment plan. Number three, write out a budget. I skipped number three. Write out a budget. I say write it out because sometimes people say, well, I just kind of got an idea in my head about, you know, how much I make and how much I spend. No. Write it down. You know how to write down a budget? Real simple. You take a blank sheet of paper. You make two columns. On the left-hand column, you put monthly income. That's real easy. Put down what you bring home, not what you give to Uncle Sam. And then on the right side, you just put down monthly outgo. And don't forget that if your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep will become your downfall. Just keep that in mind, okay? Now, for your outgo, for your expenses, there are two kinds. There are regular ones that are the same every month. Usually your house payment or rent, insurance, payments on loans or cars and things like that. They're the same. But then you have variable ones that you pay every month, like your electricity bill or your water bill or something like that, and they're not the same every month. Go back and take about 6 months of those bills and average them and put them down as an average. But then this is where most people mess up. Then you got a lot of places where your money is going in miscellaneous areas, and a lot of people are experiencing what I call money leak. You're not getting broke with hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars. You're getting broke by $2 or $3 here, $5 or $6 here, money leak that you're not tracking. So in order to track your miscellaneous expenses, here's what Crown Financial Ministries suggest you do. You take for 1 month 30 index cards, or 31, depending on how many days in the month, and you keep an accurate record of every penny you spend that day. At the end of the day, if you bought a Starbucks coffee, write it down. If you bought a McDonald's Happy Meal, write it down. If you bought something else, where every dollar that you spent cash went that day, write it down. And at the end of 30 days, you got 30 index cards, and you'll be able to look at that and categorize. That's where most people are going into the hole, that monthly money leak on all of these expenses. Now, you got to do that. And then you look at all your expenses, you look at your income, and if that expense column is more than 80% of your income, remember the 10-10-80, you need to make some changes. Here's the next step. Develop a debt repayment plan. You know those debts we talked about? Have some kind of plan to start paying them off. You can't pay them off all at one time, so usually you attack one debt at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you pay off debts? One debt and $1 at a time. You know, it doesn't matter what plan you use. There are a lot of good ones out there. Ron Blue says, pay off your debt that has the highest interest first. And that's smart. And he says even use your savings to do that. He says it doesn't make sense to have money sitting in a savings account earning 2% interest when you're paying off a loan charging you 18% interest. Other people says you use other plans. There's Larry Burkett says pay off the smallest loan first. That way you have a quicker sense of victory. I've paid off a loan. Somebody else says pay off the loan that makes you the maddest first. In other words, what do you owe money on and you're just mad at yourself for borrowing money for that? pay it off first. The plan you use isn't as important as the fact that you do have a plan. All right, next one is this, and this is a big one. Number five, either increase your income or decrease your expenses. You say, duh. Now, if you're not living in an 80% of your income for all your expenses, you have two options and only two options. It's just a matter of mathematics. You either increase your income, and for a lot of people that's hard to do, unless you take out a second job or part-time job, which you may not be able to do that. But Ron Blue says you may have some assets that you can liquidate. You may can sell some things, like if you have an extra car or a motorcycle or a boat or something, sell it. eBay or Craigslist could become your best friend in the future if you want to get out of debt. Sell some things you have and use those to pay off debt. But the best option for you usually is look at your expenses and say, how can I cut those expenses? How can I cut my expenses to fit it in 80% of my income? For some of you, it might require lifestyle change. You know what? Fact is, you just bought a house that was too much for you to afford. You may be thinking about downsizing. You might have bought a car that was too expensive for you. You may not need those premium channels. You may not need those magazine subscriptions. Start looking at all of those expenses and say, what can I live without? And cut until you're 80% of your income so you can honor God and save and make the trip to being debt-free. Ready? Here's the next one. Stop the bleeding. Acquire no new debt. Don't get any further into debt. You know, if the faucet's leaking, don't mop up the floor until you turn off the faucet. That's foolish. Turn off the faucet, then mop up the floor. So just say, I'm making a decision today. I'm not going to get any more new debt until I become debt-free. And then here's the final thing. Number seven, don't get discouraged. It takes time to become debt-free. You didn't get into this overnight. You won't get out of it overnight. It's the old frog in the pot of water thing. You put a frog in a hot pot of water, it'll jump out. But you put a frog into a room temperature pot of water and slowly bring up the heat, that frog will stay in there until it's cooked to death. And that's what happened to most Christian families in financial trouble. You didn't jump into a hot pot of debt. You were just sitting there, and gradually you got more and more debt, more and more obligations, until now your goose is cooked. And I want to tell you, you may not get out of debt today, but you can make a decision today. Pastor, I'm starting on a journey to become debt-free. Ron Blue says this, getting into debt is as easy as getting down an ice-covered mountain. Can you say amen to that? But getting out of debt is just as difficult as climbing that same mountain. In her book, Debt-Proof Living, Mary Hunt says there are basically three kinds of consumers we have in our economy today. One are the ones that are suffering from debt. And she describes this person like a man trying to go up the wrong way on an escalator, trying to go up on an escalator that's coming down. You remember when you were a kid, you tried to go up the escalator coming down? And this guy not only is trying to go up the escalator, he's carrying a couple of heavy suitcases, and he's just sweating and straining, and he can't make it. He's not even making progress. In fact, he's going back down. And a credit card company comes along and says, hey, let me take one of those suitcases from you. And so he gives it to them. And you know what they do? They give it back to him, and it's got five more bricks in it than when they took it. Is that you? But then Mary Hunt says that some people, you know, they're not suffering from debt. And every now and then they get debt-free and they can see some light, but they're basically living paycheck to paycheck. They're not saving. They're not honoring God. They're just barely making it paycheck to paycheck. And she says, this is like a person on a treadmill. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of energy. But you're not making any progress. But then she talks about people who've come to the place where they are debt-free. Where they are honoring God. They are saving. They're making wise financial decisions. She says, this is like somebody on one of those moving sidewalks at the airport. You've seen those? You step on those things, and I mean, you're going fast. You're going faster than that person who's walking normally over there. Now, I just want to ask as I finish today, which one of those three pictures represents where you are right now financially? Trying to climb a down escalator? sweating on the treadmill? Or have you come to the place where you've been set free from the chains of debt and you know what it is to be able to serve and honor God? You know what, folks? You know why I'm sharing this with you? Because God wants you to be set free. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you can't do what God wants you to do, and you can't even do what you want to do for God as long as you're enslaved by debt. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And my South Alabama paraphrase of that is, the Son of God sets you free, you'll be plumb free. Plumb free from the bondage of debt. Father, thank you for these principles in your word, and I pray that someone today will have been encouraged and they can have hope to know that it is possible for them to come to a place where they are debt free. And I pray that they'll apply these biblical principles to their lives and it will lead to a new life for them and their families. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.